And welcome to the pre-show here Friday.
That will play for nearly 5 minutes of our next speaker's speech.
I'm watching this dinner that they're having in New York. Donald Trump just spoke and was... It's supposed to be a roast, kind of roast each other. He roasted her and was complimentary, but then he really got kind of nasty, to use his word.
She endured questions about her health.
I don't know what in the fuck this is, Joey.
I can't believe all these people said it wasn't presidential to catch pneumonia.
Wasn't presidential.
Like William Henry Harrison.
William Henry Harrison. He did. He caught pneumonia and didn't.
That she later.
All right.
For example,
this is our pre-show.
Hillary really didn't mean it when she called half of Donald's supporters a basket of deplorables. To be fair, Donald didn't really mean it when he said he'd release his tax returns either.
Donald didn't mean it.
Secretary Hilton's career in public service is admirable.
This guy is Al Smith. What was Al Smith? He was like a New Yorker. Was he a mayor of New York? That is his like grandson, I think. But this is an annual dinner they have.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Secretary Hillary Rodham Clinton.
I don't know.
Thank you. Thank you. Your Eminence.
Your Eminence.
Your Excellencies, members of the clergy, Alan Nance Smith, Donald and Melania.
Al Smith, yeah.
Distinguished guests. Now, earlier tonight, Al reminded me that when the first Al Smith ran for president, he chose as his running mate the progressive senator from Arkansas, Joseph T. Robinson, who was one of my husband's political heroes. This work that you do through the dinner, Al, you've done it now for 33 years, is such a labor of love. You've been a hero for both the children of the Archdiocese and for the city of New York.
I promise we won't have this on. I just want to hear if she says any kind of cool jokes. I should have... I got on too late tonight to show you Trump.
This is such a special event that...
Yes.
I took a break from my rigorous nap schedule to be here. And as you've already heard, it's a treat for all of you, too, because usually... I charge a lot for speeches like this. But for me, it was kind of ironic thinking about a fiery populist, Al Smith. If he were here today and saw how much money we've raised for needy children, he'd be very proud. And if he saw this magnificent room,
Trump looks like a
plutocrat celebrating his legacy, he'd be very confused. It's a special honor to be here with Your Eminence. Now, I know, Your Eminence, you were criticized for inviting both Donald and me here tonight. And you responded by saying, if I only sat down with those who were saints, I'd be taking all my meals alone. Now, just to be clear, I think the cardinal is saying I'm not eligible for sainthood.
Government.
But getting through these three debates with Donald has to count as a miracle. So, I guess I'm up against the highest, hardest stained glass ceiling. But Your Eminence, you do deserve great credit for bringing together two people who've been at each other's throats. Mortal enemies, bitter foes. I've got to ask, How did you get the governor and mayor here together tonight?
De Blasio and Cuomo.
Now, I've got to say, there are a lot of friendly faces here in this room, people that I've been privileged Jesus to know Christ. And to work with. I just want to put you all in a basket of adorables. And you look so good in your tuxes, or as I refer to them, formal pantsuits. And, you know, because this is a friendly dinner for such a great cause, Donald, if at any time you don't like what I'm saying, feel free to stand up and shout wrong while I'm talking. I'm up here after Donald. I didn't think he'd be okay with a peaceful transition of power.
Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen. Upgraded at Zach's investment.
Donald, after listening to your speech, I will also enjoy listening to Mike Pence deny that you ever gave it. You know, I've had the privilege of being at the Al Smith dinners in years past, and I always enjoy it. But remember, if you're not happy with the way it comes out, it must be rigged. And it's always a special treat for me to be back in New York.
Trump didn't get laughs either, and so is
that I love and which I think truly embodies the best of America. You know, don't you think?
Hey, New York.
People look at the Statue of Liberty and they see a proud symbol of our history as a nation of immigrants, a beacon of hope for people around the world. Donald looks at the Statue of Liberty and sees a four.
A four?
Maybe a five if she loses the torch and tablet and changes her hair.
Oh, dude.
You know, come to think of it, you know what would be a good number for a woman? 45. But I digress. Now, I'm going to try my best. But I understand I am not known for my sense of humor. That's why it did take a village to write these jokes. People say, and I hear them, I know, they say, I'm boring compared to Donald. But I'm not boring at all. In fact, I'm the life of every party I attend, and I've been to three. And when the parties get out of hand, as occasionally they do, it's important to have a responsible chaperone who can get everyone home safely. And that is why I picked Tim Kaine to be my vice president. Now, you notice there is no teleprompter here tonight, which is probably smart because maybe you saw Donald dismantle his prompter the other day. And I get that. They're hard to keep up with. And I'm sure it's even harder when you're translating from the original Russian.
Oh, dude. Oh, that's a shot. Well, he took his shots at her.
Every year, this dinner brings together a collection of sensible, committed, mainstream Republicans, or as we now like to call them, Hillary supporters.
Oh, dude.
Now, some of my critics, and I hear that too, yeah, they think I only say what people want to hear. Well, tonight that is true. And here's exactly what you want to hear. This election will be over very, very soon. And look at this dais. We got Charlie Rose and Maria Bartiromo and Chris Matthews and Gail King and Nora O'Donnell and Katie Couric. This counts as a press conference, right? It is great also to see Mayor Bloomberg here.
I wonder who this guy is behind her to her right with this thing around his neck.
It's a shame he's not speaking tonight. I'm curious to hear what a billionaire has to say.
Oh. Oh, that's a slam on Trump.
And look else at the dais. We've got the Honorable Chuck Schumer, the Honorable Andrew Cuomo, the Honorable Mike Bloomberg, the Honorable Bill de Blasio, the Honorable Dave Dinkins, and so many other wonderful elected officials. And we have Rudy Giuliani. Now,
he ain't smiling. What a dick.
This, but Rudy actually got his start as a prosecutor, going after wealthy New Yorkers who avoided paying taxes. But as the saying goes, if you can't beat him, go on Fox News and call him a genius.
Look at that guy. So he's so mental. I think there's something wrong with him.
And, thankfully, final debate. Sharing a stage with Donald Trump is like, well, nothing really comes to mind. There is nothing like sharing a stage with Donald Trump. Donald wanted me drug tested before last night's debate. And look, I got to tell you, I am so flattered that Donald thought I used some sort of performance enhancer. Now, actually, I did. It's called preparation.
I got to hand it to Trump. He's smiling through this shit. I got to hand it. Giuliani looked like he has to take
Donald
a dump.
For three full debates, and he says, I don't have any stamina. That is 4.5 hours. I have now stood next to Donald Trump longer than any of his campaign managers. Now, look, I have deep respect for people like Kellyanne Conway. She's working day and night for Donald, and because she's a contractor, he's probably not even going to pay her.
Oh, man, that's a shot and a half.
But I think the good news is that debates finally allowed Republicans to unite around their candidate. The bad news is it's Mike Pence.
Oh, no
laughs.
It has
been a long, long campaign. That should be one of our highest priorities, shortening the campaigns.
Shortening the campaign.
And whoever wins this election, the outcome will be historic.
Sure,
will
campaigns used to be short.
The first female president or the first president who started a Twitter war with Cher.
With Cher?
And if Donald does win, it'll be awkward at the annual President's Day photo when all the former presidents gather at the White House. And not just with Bill. How is Barack going to get past the Muslim ban? Now, Republicans in particular
Giuliani
seem frustrated with their nominee. Paul Ryan told the Republican members of the House, you don't have to support the top of the ticket. Don't worry about anyone besides yourself. Just do what's in your own best interest. So I guess Donald really has unified his party around his core philosophy. And I don't understand their unhappiness. They say Donald doesn't have any policies. He has no policies. I keep hearing that. I'd actually like to defend him on this. Donald has issues. Serious issues. Really, really serious issues. And I worry about Donald's go-it-alone attitude. For example, at his convention when he
Wait
said,
a minute,
I
man.
Fix it. Oh, yeah. You know, in the 90s, I said the same thing about America's health care system, and it didn't work out so well for me either. But speaking of health, Donald has been very concerned about mine. Very concerned. He actually sent a car to bring me here tonight. Actually, it was a hearse.
Brexit migration train. With a hearse.
But I kind of want to just put the information out there so everybody can draw their own conclusions and you can judge our relative health. We've each released our medical records. My blood pressure is 100 over 70. His is unbelievably great. My cholesterol is 189. His is presidential. My heart rate is 72 beats per minute. His is the most beats ever, or the least beats ever, whichever sounds best. But Donald really is as healthy as a horse. You know, the one Vladimir Putin rides around on.
Yeah, I'm checking that.
But I can say without fear of contradiction tonight that I will be the healthiest and youngest woman ever to serve as president. But this has really been a strange campaign. You saw it last night, you saw it again tonight. Donald has attacked me for a life in public service, and I didn't get that at first. I kind of get it now. As he told Howard Stern, he doesn't like it when women have been around for more than 35 years. But Donald, we have so much more in common than actually you may realize. For example,
I try to inspire
young people by showing them that with resilience and hard work, anything is possible.
You're
doing the same. A third grade teacher told me that one of her students refused to turn in his homework because it was under audit. And here's another similarity.
Shit.
That was the Republican National Committee isn't spending a dime to help either one of us. So tonight, let's embrace the spirit of the evening. Let's come together, remember what unites us, and just rip on Ted Cruz.
Rip on.
I hope you enjoyed my remarks tonight. I said no to some jokes that I thought were over the line. But I suppose you can judge for yourself on WikiLeaks in the next few days. Donald will tell us after the benediction whether he accepts that this dinner is over. He has to wait and see. But there's nothing funny about the stakes in this election. In the end, what makes this dinner important are not the jokes we tell, but the legacy that we carry forward. It's often easy to forget how far this country has come. And there are a lot of people in this room tonight who or their parents or grandparents came here as immigrants, made a life for yourself.
Donald Trump, I'll totally accept.
Took advantage of the American dream and the greatest system that has ever been created in the history of the world to unleash the individual talents, energy, and ambition of everyone willing to work hard. And when I think about what Al Smith went through, it's important to just reflect how groundbreaking it was for him, a Catholic, to be my party's nominee for president. Don't forget, school boards sent home letters with children saying that if Al Smith is elected president, you will not be allowed to have or read a Bible. Voters were told that he would annul Protestant marriages. And I saw a story recently that said people even claimed the Holland Tunnel was a secret passageway to connect Rome and America
Jesus.
To help the Pope rule our country. Those appeals, to fear and division.
Boy, people were fucking dumb in the 30s, man, weren't they?
Each other.
Fucking believable.
The other. Rhetoric like that makes it harder.
Robbie Dooley, Margaret Gray.
For us to see each other, to respect each other, to listen to each other. And certainly a lot harder to love our neighbor as ourselves. I believe how we treat others is the highest expression of faith and of service. Now, I'm not Catholic, I'm a Methodist, but one of the things that we share is the belief that in order to achieve salvation, we need both faith and good works. And you certainly don't need to be Catholic to be inspired by the humility and heart of the Holy Father, Pope Francis, or to embrace his message. His message about rejecting a mindset of hostility, his calls to reduce inequality, his warnings
Skippy and Frank.
About climate change, his appeal
Pete Bonin here?
That we build bridges, not walls.
Where's Pete Bonin,
now,
man?
I know my running mate, Tim, is Catholic and went to
Pete Bonin.
Jesuit schools. And one of the things he and I have talked about is this idea from the Jesuits of the modules, the better. Well, we need to get better at finding ways to disagree on matters of policy while agreeing on questions of decency and civility. How we talk to each other, treat each other, respect each other. So I've taken this concept of modern
Trevor Lauer with Durbin General, you know, Sean Morgan, Debbie Daly, Guy Barton,
James Hannes. The back and forth of a presidential campaign to ask how we can do more for each other and better for each other. Because I believe that for each of us, our greatest monument.
She's given a speech, for Christ's sake.
Won't be what we build, but the lives we touch.
And come on, done. Done with the speech.
Is all about, and it's why it's been such a great honor to join you all.
Well, there you heard it. Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump sharing the dais, the Al Smith Memorial Dinner here in New York. Back with us now, CNN political analyst Gloria Borger.
Fucking Giuliani looks like such a fucking.
David Byrne, let's start with you. You've watched a lot of these over the years. Have you ever heard a Kennedy being booed?
No, I've been trying to figure that out. Have you ever heard booing in Al Smith Dinner as we heard tonight with Donald Trump? No, and the answer is I don't know for sure, but I don't think so. there's such a risk here sounding partisan, but I must tell you there was a real difference between the two. Donald Trump was very much himself, but he didn't seem to know the difference between being lighthearted and heavy-handed. And, you know, this is supposed to be a lighthearted kind of occasion. And he had several jokes that were sort of pretty tough jokes about her. You know, basically calling her corrupt, that the emails, you know, show she pretends to have liked the Catholic Church and that sort of thing. He was, I thought, particularly good when he talked about Melania. That was funny and humorous in the right spirit. But I think there was a reason that the boos were there, and that was that he went over the line. On several occasions. She was a much more traditional, I know people don't necessarily like tradition anymore, she was much more of the traditional kind of speaker. And at the Gridiron Club in Washington, their dinner, they say, you should singe but never burn. Mm. And her jokes had much more of a singeing quality. And so some of them were lame.
It was interesting, Gloria, because I mean, both people have been there.
Jason
before
S.
Donald Trump
Bobby Dooling.
With his father, clearly Hillary Clinton has been there over the years as well.
Yeah, and I think Donald Trump missed the self-deprecating part. He's been there, maybe his joke writers haven't been there, but I think it was sort of uncomfortable to me just watching it. I don't know how you guys feel, but I felt Trump couldn't get away from the nastiness about her. Didn't joke about himself very much, except maybe at the beginning when
saying
he joked.
He was humble.
That's right. People didn't think I could be good at this. And Hillary was a lot more lighthearted, but you could tell sometimes in looking at her, and she hit it more than she didn't, but you could tell sometimes in looking at her how kind of tough it was for her. And her Statue of Liberty joke, when she said, you know, he looks at the Statue of Liberty and he sees a 4, maybe a 5, that's funny, but it's also... Serious.
Yeah, in fact, let's play the Statue of Liberty thing,
because
I think we have a cue
to
that.
Phyllis is Bob Green, and...
People look at the Statue of Liberty, and they see a proud symbol of our history as a nation of immigrants, a beacon of hope for people around the world. Donald looks at the Statue of Liberty and sees a 4.
A 4.
Loses the torch and tablet and changes her hair.
Also, I mean, probably one of the best laughs that Trump got was the joke about Michelle Obama speaking and Melania Trump speaking. Let's play that.
This was a great line.
Gives a speech and everyone loves it. It's fantastic.
This is a great one.
They think she's absolutely great. My wife, Melania, gives the exact same speech. And people get on her case. And I don't get it. I don't know why. And it wasn't her fault. Stand up, Melania. Come on. She took a lot of abuse.
John King, what did you make? What's your
Well, I think to David's point and to Gloria's point, the license you get to beat up to zing the other
All right, man. I think we can say goodbye to this shit. This is all fucking just... I was just going back and forth on text with Lauren. With Lauren. You turn the shit down, man. Shut up. Shut your hole. All right, Bobby Dooley, Jay Sanders, Ted Bell, Bob Green on the show tonight. What time is it? 25 minutes. God damn that fucking cocksuck. Okay. It's just I've got a new sponsor. I forgot to run the spots. Monday and Wednesday, motherfucker. I don't see the days on these charts, or I ignore. I've never really thought to look at them. I think Ted should claim that he invented the wedge of lettuce with blue cheese dressing. And it was called the wedge. It was simply called the wedge, the wedget, or the wedget. And I think Chedilia called him out. Bullshit! You know? All right. And then we're going to do a sound effect here. What are you looking for, man? We're looking for a sound effect explosion. I think I'm gonna have a drink tonight. I think I'm gonna have a big fucking drink tonight. After we're all done here. What's the difference between these two explosions? Wait a minute. Hey, man. So what are we doing now? Oh. This goddamn camera is fucked up. Your Jordans are fucked up. Yeah. Man, your Jordans are fucked up. I like having both of them. I may have to take a piss here in about 2 seconds. Oh, I got 2 minutes to go, so stand by. goddamn Thunder. My cat Thunder. And Poncho's not here. Poncho's with Lauren, and Lauren's in the Valley because Lauren's got a bunch of business she got to do in the Valley. So I said to Lauren, I said, you know, Poncho looks so like he misses you. Do you think you could take him with you? And you go, she said, yeah, sure, you know. So she's got Poncho with her. Poncho's a traveling cat, man. He's been to the hospital down in Tustin, up to the doctor's, the thing. He went to the thing. We had him at the fucking hotel, you know, where the cat hotel. Oh, and the good news, Poncho, this is great news. Poncho's diabetes is in remission. I should talk about that on the,
What do you want to talk about that for?
Because people, you really are stupid, but I'm All right, man, I'm ready to go if you are. You are? Okay, cool. Testing 1, 2. Because you treat me like shit. I pay for the bed and never even slept in it. Wait a minute, motherfucker. Okay, here, ready? You are? Okay, good. I'm very happy to hear that because I'm not. Yes, I am. Here we go. Oops.